Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the CIR 2023 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rodolfo De Benedetti, Chairman, and Michele Cavigioli, CFO of CIR. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for joining. I'm going to go through rapidly, as usual, the key numbers that were approved by CIR's Board of Directors this morning, and comment briefly the result of our two operating business for the year 2023, and then I would leave time for Q&A. So last year was a good year for CIR. We increased our revenues by about 7% on a consolidated basis, 10% increase in costs, and about 5.5% increase in Sogefi, which was heavily impacted by FX. So at constant FX, the increase would have been 9%. We had a positive result of almost 33 million euro, which compares to about a break-even number the previous year. And the main contribution has been the pro rata share of the earnings of both Sogefi and KOS into CIR's P&L, as well as a better performance at the holding company level, but still quite modest. Substantial cash generation, which has lowered our net financial position, both at the consolidated level, and this was driven basically by the Sogefi and KOS debt, which went down because of strong free cash flow generation. In terms of extraordinary transactions, last year we announced the sale of a real estate asset of CIR for 38 million, the closing of which should have taken place in 2023. For technical reasons, it was shifted to the first half of 2024, so the transaction is confirmed but has not taken place yet. On February 23, Sogefi announced a major divestiture. We announced the sale of one of the three operating businesses of the company, the filtration business, and I'll detail that in a bit. Also, last year, in June, KOS completed the sale of the only residual diagnostic and care center asset, which was part of Medipass, which was sold a couple of years ago. We had to retain the Indian asset because the buyer was not interested in it, and we successfully divested it, as was planned, last year with a gain. We continued to buy back our own stock. In the year 2023, we bought back close to 35 million shares, about 3.2% of the capital, and CIR owns now more than 6% of its own shares. I would just spend a minute on the Sogefi divestiture. This has been in the making for quite a long time. It was a complex transaction because we had to basically carve out this division, which was not a company in itself, from the rest of Sogefi. We went through a competitive process. We ended up signing a deal with a U.S. private equity fund, Pacific Avenue Capital Partners, and on the 23rd of February, we announced the transaction. For technical reasons related to French regulations, we announced a unilateral put option that Sogefi has on the buyer to put the business. This because any sale of a French business can be completed only after having exhausted an information process to the unions, which has started, which is not a precondition to the deal. There is no veto power, but the company has the obligation to give the opportunity to the unions to learn about the transactions, to ask questions, and so there's a process which has started. There are also a couple of antitrust approvals which need to be obtained. So we expect the closing of the transaction to take place by August of this year. The enterprise value that was announced is 374 million euros, which translates into about 330 million equity value. And there are the usual working capital and net financial position adjustments at closing. So those numbers are estimates based on the numbers that we expect. Sogefi has indicated that about 50% of the net proceeds, so the 330 million, will be allocated to the reduction of the net financial position of Sogefi, which would leave the company in a very sound and strong capital situation. And the remaining, so about half that number, will be distributed to shareholders with most probably as a dividend. And Sogefi also announced an ordinary dividend, which will be paid before that, out of the 23 P&L. The rationale of this transaction is that of realizing value on an activity which historically has been a very good business over the long term, which has experienced record profitability in 23 and in 22. So the cycle is a very good and strong one for the filtration business. That business is exposed probably more than the two others, actually certainly more than the two others, to the electrification trend, because it provides products for internal combustion engines. And so to the extent that one assumes a rapid migration from ICE to EV, that clearly has a negative impact on this business. So we believe we will reduce the strategic longer-term risk that the company has. We streamlined the portfolio of activity. We concentrated on two assets that had different situations. The filtration, the suspension asset is one which is going through a major turnaround, of which we have saw the first fruits in 23. The company turned a profit after years of losses, but you know, we still are not there, so it's still a work in progress, and we have the objective and the ambition to bring it back to an attractive level of profitability. And also we want to focus on the development in the air intake business, where we believe that there is a real opportunity because of the transition of engines to become a significant supplier in the EV space. If I turn to page 7, just very briefly, this is the consolidated P&L. It has, you know, relative significance because we're consolidating different businesses, but you know, we have to provide it for reporting purposes. And as you can see, at every level, profitability has increased. On the right-hand side, you see the breakdown of the increase in revenues, where you see that, you know, Sogefi increased, as I said earlier, by slightly more than 5% and cost by 10, which is an average between 8% in Italy and 15.5% in Germany. you have the on the bottom end of the page, you have the P&L contributions, 22 versus 23. So this is the pro rata share of the earnings of the operating company. This is what we consolidate at the CHIR level. And as I said earlier, at the holding company level, the result was an increase on the previous year, but still not a profit, because we still had a relatively low financial financial results in the year because of reasons that I'll detail later. On page 8, you have a snapshot of the net financial position. So excluding IFRS 16 on the higher end of the left part of the page, you see that net debt went from 82 million to about 18 million. This mainly due to the reduction of debt in both COS and Sogefi because of cash flow generation. And then you have the IFRS 16 number below, which doesn't really change a lot compared to the previous one. You have a bridge on the right-hand side where you have the the various plus and minuses. I would say that in general, funds from operations was the main contributor in terms of operating cash flow. Which is good. We continue to invest in ourselves by continuing to buy back our own stock, 14 million euro during the year, and the rest is the divestitures that I mentioned earlier. On page 9, you have a simplified balance sheet on the left side. Not much to report here. No major changes. You have a bridge on the right-hand side for the net cash. So small movements, share buybacks as a negative, and financial income and holding company cost as plus minuses. No particular comment here. You have on the non-core investments both the private equity portfolio with the new investments, the distributions, and the fair value adjustments. Here too, no major changes, and it's frankly not very relevant to judge it on a yearly basis because of the type of assets. If I go to page 11 and following, you have an update on costs. We just remind the footprint of the company. As you can see, we've continued to develop a pipeline of greenfields both in Italy and in Germany in the nursing home space. We have six developments now ongoing. On page 12, you have the P&L. So sales were about 752 million. Significant increase in EBITDA. This is EBITDA, including IFRS 16. Then you have EBITDA without it, and the EBIT number, which is probably the most relevant, went from 30 million in 22 to 53 million in 23. Very significant increase in profitability in the Italian business, reduced losses in Germany, more or less same net interest cost, and this brings a 11.7 million net profit, which is basically the first time since 2020, where the company is back being profitable with a stronger balance sheet. I mentioned the disposal of the diagnostic and cancer care business. We have seen, as we mentioned, in the last calls we had with analysts, we We have seen a continuous increase in occupancy both in Italy and in Germany. We are now not exactly, but very close back to pre-COVID occupancy levels. This clearly has had a significant impact on profitability. Germany is still under pressure. We're still loss-making in Germany. And in Germany, in up to 2022, we had a significant contribution from public subsidies, which totally stopped in 23. So in a way, you have to evaluate the performance of Germany, taking that into account, and that is a meaningful difference. So in reality, the increase in profitability is better than what the number looks if you do it pre-subsidies. You have the net debt, which decreased by 46 million. Part of it was divestiture of India and some real estate disposals, and the rest was ordinary free cash flow. In terms of outlook for this year, we see a return to full activity in rehab and acute care. And we expect by the end of this year on the nursing home business to be back in terms of occupancy to the 19 levels. And so this should bring a further improvement of results in 24 in terms of bottom line. Page 13, you have the breakdown of the occupancy, 19, 22, 23. You have the average, you have the end of period numbers. I think they're self-explanatory. Not much comment that I can make here. This is clearly a key driver for profitability. And so it's one that we monitor very closely. We also, went through efforts to selectively, where possible, do price increases. We had some public tariff increases, but we also had some private component increases. And obviously, the balance between occupancy and tariff is key in this business. And this has to be managed at a subsidiary level, depending on the competitive landscape in which we operate in each structure. Page 14, you have a few numbers with a split Italy and Germany, where we go back to 19 to give a picture of pre-COVID levels of profitability. 19 was actually our record year ever, so this is a pretty ambitious benchmark in terms of profitability. We indicated that our goal is to progressively go back to that number, that we might not achieve that number because in the meantime there has been some structural cost increases, particularly labor force, utilities, partially real estate because of the indexation of the rents. But that continues to be an objective that we'll pursue over time. And as you can see from those numbers, Italy performed much better. So EBIT went from 5% in 22 to 10%. So we doubled EBIT last year, which is a significant increase. Germany is still lagging, the evolution from 22 to 23 of Germany, you have to take into the consideration what I mentioned earlier, which is the public subsidies. So if you take them away from 22, you still have an increase in 23, but clearly the amount of subsidies was significant in 22 in Germany, and that was brought down to zero last year. I now pass on to Sogefi. On page 15, I won't comment the evolution of sales. You have the breakdown of the geographic footprint, as well as the split of our customers on the OEM side. The company almost doubled net profit in 23. So we consider that, even before the filtration divestiture, operating-wise, we're very happy about our performance in 23. The company has never achieved historically, since it exists, that level of profitability. So we're proud of the achievement. And we think that this is a sustainable level of profitability. So going forward, we have indicated that barring major market disruption in the auto production, we should continue to build on that foundation this year and the next few years, as you have the indication of this 15. On page 16, you have a breakdown of both sales and EBITDA by division, where you see the turnaround, or the partial turnaround, or the beginning of the turnaround of the suspension division, which has been loss-making for a few years, which was notable last year. So we don't consider ourselves done, but it's a work in progress. As you can see, filtration had an extraordinary year, 100 plus million of EBITDA, never achieved such profitability in the company's history. And this is double the level of 19. So in a way, also our decision to choose this timing to sell this business is related to the fact that, 13.5% EBIT margin on such a business, we consider it to be high from a benchmarking and a historical standpoint. Not necessarily non-sustainable, but clearly, when you take the average profitability of the last 5 or 10 years, it has been significantly lower than that. And very stable performance of air and cooling, which we think is a very attractive business going forward. So consolidated 235 million of EBITDA, substantial increase both on 19 and on 22. I will maybe just skip the, just for the sake of time, the ESG page, which I think here too is quite self-explanatory. We set goals for each of the operating companies, which are obviously different because of the nature of the businesses, but also goals for the holding company. And we've achieved our goals for 23. I now open it up to your questions so as to have time to go through them.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Martino De Ambrogi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. Two questions on costs and one on the holding company. On costs, during this year you will be back to full occupancy. So just to have an idea, what is the normalized profitability once you are back in a normal market with a full occupancy? I don't know if you are willing to split between Italy and Germany or just on a consolidated basis. The second is still on costs, is the availability of nurses and the inflationary costs. Just to have an idea, what is the impact of these two effects on 24? And once again on costs, sorry, this is a third question. You mentioned Germany benefited from subsidies in 22. Could you remind us of what was the impact in 22, just to have an idea what is the improvement in 23 ex subsidies? And the question on the holding company is the use of cash. So you will have more than 400 million in cash within the end of the year. You are not distributing any dividend. You already announced more buyback. I suppose the only use of cash is cost minorities buyback. I don't know if you have any update on this, and maybe just probably a public info, but I don't know what is the expiry of the F2I fund in which COS is in. Thank you.
Okay, I will start and I will ask Michele to complete. Normalized profitability, as you know, we don't give yearly guidance for our businesses, and so I'm not going to change that today. I will leave it to Michele maybe to give you some more qualitative indications about the medium-term objectives of the company, I cannot give you a guidance in terms of profitability or net profit for this year. Availability of personnel and inflation. Availability of personnel, it's selectively a bit better. It's not always better everywhere, so it really depends on countries and on even location within countries. But it's probably there's probably less pressure today than at the height of the post-pandemic phase. Inflation is more limited, but still, there is inflation. There is inflation in salaries. There is inflation in purchases. But I think here too, the spike in inflation that we have seen in the last 2-3 years, is now behind us, and we are seeing smaller price increases. Michele will give you the German subsidy number for 22. On CHIR use of cash, as you referred to, we just issued a press release. So the board has announced to elect not to pay a dividend, thinking that, as we have done over the last few years, the most effective way of creating value for our shareholders is to channel the capital return through buyback plans. As you know, we have done this for a few years now. We have continued to do it. We will continue to do it. This enables us greater flexibility to adjust it to market conditions, and to basically give the option to the shareholders that want to stay, and those that want to cash in, to cash in. So we believe it's more, in a way, democratic than a company decision to pay a dividend, which is not a choice that is given to shareholders, but it's an obligation. In terms of also in the use of cash, you rightly mentioned cost minority. As you know, this has been a consideration for us in the last few years. We have a financial minority investor in COS. By definition, they are a seller at a certain point. This asset sits in a fund which is in a liquidation phase, And we receive indications from F2i that they would like to, to exit from this investment probably somewhere next year. It's really, up to them, and we'll monitor this process. And as we said many times, we are in the fortunate position that we don't have any obligation other than assist them in helping to go through the divestiture. But we will, see whether, depending on how that process goes, if there is an opportunity for us as CIR to increase our ownership of a company that we know, that we like, that we control. And so I think it's all a question of terms. But you have to be two, and we have to confront ourselves with the market. And clearly, if the fund will do their job to try to maximize the price, and we will follow this closely. Michele, do you want to take your part?
Yes. So with regards to subsidies, we had a major impact in Germany. Up to June last year, there was a regime whereby the public authorities would reimburse for any loss of occupancy compared to pre-COVID. That was terminated abruptly in June. So last year we had 17 million contribution, this year almost zero.
Sorry, when you say this year is 23.
23, we had almost zero. So in 22, we had 17 million for the first 6 months. So that makes quite a big impact. And also Germany was also affected by rising costs, which began in 22, but we had a carryover in 23. So we had probably another 10 million impact in terms of costs, which we will have to recover progressively in tariffs. Tariffs renegotiation, as you know, goes on every year for every single home. The process has been quite delayed recently, and also there was less willingness by the authorities to recognize the full amount of the cost increases. So we think that it will take another at least one year to try to get back what was the accumulated cost increase, including salaries and other costs that happened in the since the big inflation started in Germany. So for the long term, we had always indicated for Germany an EBITDA ex IFRS 16 target with high single-digit percentage. We think that this is still possible. It will, of course, take much longer than expected due to COVID, due to the big cost inflation that we had, and due to this mechanism of tariff renegotiation that has become somehow less smooth in the last year or so compared to how it used to work in normal conditions when inflation was, of course, much lower than today. So this is still a target for us. It will imply a longer time and a big effort. It's going to be a real turnaround, so it's not that it will come for granted just by waiting the tariff increases. With regards to Italy, there was also a negative impact from reimbursement reduction, but less so. So we lost probably about 5 million compared to the previous year in terms of subsidies. These subsidies in Italy are usually related to previous years because they will always come very late. So we will probably see those reimbursements go down almost to zero this year, probably. In Italy, there was also some inflation on the on the personnel. After a very long time with no contract renewal, we had to start in 2023. But we managed in Italy to recover those additional costs with additional efficiency. So we managed to counterbalance the cost inflation with efficiency. As you can see in the numbers we published, the profitability in Italy is still 2-3 percentage points below 19. As Rodolfo said, 19 was a very exceptional year in terms of profitability. So there is still some room for improvement, but it's difficult to give a target here because, as you know, there is no automatic link between costs and tariffs in Italy, quite on the contrary. So we'll have to try to get tariff adjustments, but there is a very dispersed way of granting them by the different local authorities. Very inconsistent in the different regions, and so it's very difficult to give you a target for further profitability improvement. It will probably not reach the 19 levels, as we said in previous occasions. With regards to, I think we were done with your questions, right, Martino?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question is a follow-up from Martino De Ambroggi with Equita. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I take advantage. And on Sogefi, you mentioned to be back to attractive profitability. I know you are not accustomed to provide any specific guidance in the medium term, but am I right in assuming you can recover 2-3 percentage points in the next couple of years in terms of profitability for suspensions? And still on costs, M&A is probably back to restart in general terms in the sector. I don't know if for costs specifically, but being almost back to normal life, probably also M&A is back.
Let me start with Sogefi. I think, I mean, we, again, as you said and as you know, we don't provide guidance, particularly not, division-wise. But I would say that, you mentioned 2-3 points in suspensions. Frankly, I don't think it's unreasonable. I think there is, as you can see in 2023, there is a big difference between, the profitability at the EBIT level of suspension, which is 2.3% compared to the one of the two other divisions. Now, even accounting for a particularly strong year in filtration, which brought it to close to 13%, as I said earlier, but still, 8% of air and cooling is a good level of profitability. So I think, certainly the ambition that we have internally is to, have those 2-3 points increase in profitability in suspensions. We have been operating this business for many, many years, and this business historically has been a good business in terms of profitability. And so there's no reason, in terms of the structure of the market, in terms of the competitive positioning, why we wouldn't achieve that. I think the reasons why the last few years were more difficult, we know them. We have addressed them. Some of those issues take time because they're related to contracts that were taken at terms that were non-sufficiently economical for us. And so that is a process that takes time. There's been a big investment the company made in a new plant in Romania, which is now stabilized and mature. So I think there are a bunch of reasons that explain the underperformance of the past few years, but that give us reasonable optimism for the future, even though we know that it's tough business, it's competitive, it's a business where raw material as a percentage of sales is a very high number, so you're very dependent on the cycles and on raw material prices. But when you look at the past, I think we should be able to get back to at least those 2-3 points. In terms of M&A in KOS, there hasn't really been much activity in this sector, not only in Italy, but in Europe. And I think this is the result of a very tough environment post-COVID in this business that we saw, but our major French competitors had a much worse COVID or post-COVID because of specific problems. And I think this has not helped the sentiment in the business. And so probably this has led to a lower level of valuations compared to the past. As it happens often, it takes time to adjust sellers' expectations, which with buyers' availability and maybe even the universe of buyers have changed. A lot of leverage was used in some of those investments in this sector in the past. I think that's something that will not come back soon. So there will be leverage, but not at the same levels. And so the cost of capital has gone up. And I think all this, reasonably speaking, has had an impact on valuations. And this is probably what explains the lack of transactions and the illiquidity in this sector. So frankly, we have not been actively looking for M&A. We've been more concerned and focused on our internal operations and making sure that we do the right things to have, again, a profitable and successful business. And I think M&A is a second priority compared to that.
Okay, thank you.
For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. De Benedetti, Mr. Cavigioli, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much, and thanks everybody for joining. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you.